Welcome to the March 28, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, What Kind of King? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to Palm Sunday. We are pleased that you have joined us for worship this morning. If there are any kids in the congregation that want to wave palm branches, they are getting lined up. Where are y'all going? Yeah, they are going to have sticks this morning. You may want to stay away. If there are any kids in the congregation that want to wave palm branches, if you want to head back there, we have some brave adults that are back there trying to keep them in line. So we'll get through the announcements very quickly. We want to find out members and guests who are here today. We do this by our pew pads. These are on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you, members and guests alike, to sign your name, check the appropriate boxes, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out. And then once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful for us. We do ask, when it gets back to the first person who signed it this morning, if you could tear out those pages, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for giving us this information. This helps us find out who was in worship today. It is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. This is the week that defines who we are as Christians, and it is a great honor to be with you, members and guests alike. Reminder to our children, we are having children's celebration. Children's celebration is where in the middle of the worship service, actually after during the second hymn, the children will leave these doors and head to the fellowship hall for a special service designed just for them by our juniors and seniors in high school. So, second hymn, hymn number 197, you guys will head down at that time. Several things happening. It is Holy Week. All the services that you'll see listed in your bulletin under upcoming events, opportunities for the week. That includes Maundy Thursday service, which is this Thursday at 7 p.m. One note, there will be no family night supper that night. The children are on spring break. There are no school, so we will not have supper, but we will have services at 7 p.m. on Thursday, and then the tenebrae service at 7 p.m. on Friday, and then the Easter schedule, Easter Sunday next week as well. Let me see. Any other announcements? We're good. All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. It is our great honor to have you in worship with us. You've already given us your information just a few moments ago. If you're a guest, our ushers are coming down the aisles. They would like to give something to you. So just raise your hand right where you are if you're a guest. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and the newsletter that tells you what's happening currently in the life of our congregation. So we are especially pleased that you have joined us for worship today. I think that's it for our announcements. It's a great day to be together. It's a gift that God has given to us. It's crazy. We're getting kids ready for church without pulling out all our hair. Sometimes it's been a long week. We'd rather sleep. There are many distractions that we could have let come between us and God, but we have chosen to worship Him today. Don't miss this opportunity to come into the presence of the Almighty God. Let us worship together.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
That sure is good to see. Let's pray together. Father, we have come to celebrate your name. And as the children have shown us, it doesn't matter how old we are, where we've been in life, we know that you are God, and we come to celebrate your name. So come into this place, we pray. We invite you to be in our presence. We need you to be here. Inhabit our praises. Come into this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll find a call to worship as printed in your bulletin. I invite you to take your bulletin out there. It is a responsive reading call to worship. There is a part for you as a congregation to read the dark print aloud after I read the light print. As we are called into worship today, it is sobering to remember that when God appeared on earth in the person of Jesus, most of the world did not recognize him and therefore did not worship him. Today we ask for faith that will open our eyes to see Jesus for who he is, that we might worship him in truth. People of God, behold and see your God.
We open our eyes to see his glory. We open our ears to hear his wisdom. We open our hands to offer him gifts. We open our mouths to sing his praise. We open our hearts to offer him our love. He is Lord.
Amen.
From Scripture, we know that as Jesus entered the town riding on the donkey, the people laid their cloaks down, they laid palm branches down, in offering an honor to the person that they knew was to be their Lord and Savior and fulfill the promise of God. In the same way, we bring ourselves and offer ourselves during Lent and all the time to Christ. And specifically, we confess our sins and offer our sins and our shortcomings to Christ that they may be forgiven. Hear this call to confession, and after which we'll share a time of silent confession together. Jesus, our Lord, we shout hosannas to praise you. With eager hands, we place our cloaks and palms on the path before you. Yet, Lord, we confess that the mouths that seek to praise you often deny or defy you. And we confess that the hands that seek to serve you often become fists. Lord, hear us as we confess. In your order of worship is printed an assurance of pardon. If you will, read responsively with me. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
For Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children.
And walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hosanna. Amen.
May we pray. O Lord,
On today of all days, we know how easy it is to come in on Sunday morning and praise you and reject you by the middle of the week. We know that too often you're not the king we want, but you are the king we need, and you're so much more than the king we deserve. You knew what was coming for you, and so do we. Let us commit ourselves this week to take advantage of this opportunity and proclaim the good news, proclaim the reason you came, proclaim the opportunity for each of us to follow you and to accept the sacrifice you were so willingly made for us. Let us embrace you as the King that was sent for us, and let us embrace the responsibility you've given to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
So here we are. This is the Sunday before Easter. We know it as Palm Sunday, and it's kind of orchestrated in the church. It's kind of a pre-holiday event, isn't it? In some ways, I mean, we celebrate the children come down the aisle. It's big on celebration, but it's the celebration before the big celebration that we think about next week. And we call it Palm Sunday. But truth be known, Palm Sunday draws its power, it draws its enthusiasm by the fact that we are looking forward to the triumph of the resurrection, right? Otherwise, what would be the point in celebrating this morning? So in the procession of the children, as they come down with their palm branches and the choir sings glad hosannas and people are kind of swept up into the praise for our triumphant, our Redeemer King. And that's a good thing, because this King is the same one who will bring us from death's darkness into eternal light. So that's why we celebrate. So we're kind of warming up, if you think about it this way, we're kind of warming up for the Easter parade. That's what the procession is. We're warming up for the Easter parade, and the Easter parade next week will bring more people into congregations around the nation, around the world, in Christian churches than any other Sunday in the year. Were you aware of that? Easter Sunday morning, and you'll recognize that next week when you come in and you don't have a seat. You know, somebody's sitting in your chair next week. But when you come in, be nice, be sweet. You haven't seen them since Christmas, so speak to them and let them know that you're glad that they're here. So, you know, at the same time, while we will celebrate next week, we also have to remember the spiritual disciplines of Lent that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. And they've been preparing us to follow Jesus. And as we talk about following Jesus, we need to understand that the journey that Jesus undertook as he faced Jerusalem, it was a costly, dangerous journey. And so as we go back 2,000 years ago, we kind of arrived with Jesus at a city that was deeply hurting. It was a city that was being held captive in their own city. They were looking for change. They had known the freedom, at least at this point in their history, they had known the freedom of being able to worship in the city of the temple, but they also had the constant reminder by the troops around them and things that were going on within the government. They had the constant reminder that they were serving another city, in a sense, that Rome's presence was very real to them. And the rule of Rome was actually quite tolerant. It allowed, at least again in this part of history, it allowed indigenous religious displays up to a point. And here we have, into this scene, we have Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Well, you know, if you're a government official, you think, here's a guy on a donkey with 12 pretty rugged ragtag kind of group behind him of men and then some women following along. I mean, what harm can he be? I mean, what difference could this guy make? And you see, that's a big question for us. What difference can Jesus make? We would do well to ask that in Winston-Salem. You know, if he processed today into Winston-Salem, A, would we notice? B, would we care? And C, would it be a triumphal entry? What difference would he make? So we find ourselves, we need to repeat this question. We need to repeat this story, the story of Jesus coming in some form every year on Palm Sunday. We need to be faithful, and we need to understand the exclaims of the people. Blessed is he. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And even as we shout those praises, we need to know, if we're saying, okay, blessed is the King, what kind of King is it that we serve? So therefore, the scripture passage is pretty clear, at least in my mind. Philippians 2:5-11 is a good place to start. Because this week, as a congregation, and as a body of believers all across the world, we are going to be journeying with Jesus to the cross. We are going to be discovering the reason that Jesus has come to Jerusalem. Why did he come here? And Jesus' passion, understand, is to do the will of the Father in heaven. And now his will comes into conflict with the powers, the principalities of this age. And when that happens, all Hades breaks loose, literally. Because it sets up a clash of opposing kingdoms. And in that clash, we're going to be able to see what it is exactly. What kind of king is it that we serve? So when we listen to what's been called the Christ hymn, which was a part of Paul's letters to the church at Philippi, there's really no doubt, at least in my mind, there's no doubt at all about what kind of king we serve. And so you can answer the question for yourself. I invite you to turn in your Bible, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 11. But it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Beginning in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We could stop right there, fold it up, go home. Sermon said, amen? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. But we're going to find out what his attitude is. Paul describes it for us. Lest you wonder, here's how he maps it out. Verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the one true God has exalted Jesus to the highest place of all. And his name is above every name. And we love this, don't we? We love this. Okay, I love this. I hope you do. But the king who comes in the name of the Lord comes out on top. That's what he's saying. So the people who sang their loud hosannas when Jesus entered the city, they were probably more accurate about his identity than they even knew. Because he was there to accomplish something much more significant than just running out the Romans. His task, his passion was much more than something having to do with some earthly kingdom. The king will ascend to a place far above even my imagining. And see, in my mind, I want to go back there. I want to put myself back in that place, and I want to claim Jesus. I want him to be my sovereign as he comes into town, because my sovereign will be the kind of guy that always finishes on top. And my sovereign will be the ones that will allow those who scoff at him to have to look up and to praise his name. And of course, it wouldn't hurt if they're those who scoff Jesus while they're bowed on their faces praising his name, if a few of the guys who are tight with Jesus are kind of hanging out in the background taking it all in too. You see, sometimes that's how we think. We think we need to be the ones who are praised for being a Christian, for hanging out with Jesus. It's embarrassing to admit that out loud. But the truth of our religious motivation sometimes is not a pretty sight, is it? That's why Paul says very clearly, at the name of Jesus, even the guys hanging out behind him, every knee should bow. Because true worship is not comparative. You see, we don't compare our righteousness to the righteousness of some blatant atheist who is our very popular neighbor or something. We don't do that. You know, it's the ground truly is level at the cross. But what that means is we will all bow. We will all bow and praise his name. If you go back to and study the cathedrals, the great cathedrals of Europe, The one principle that comes through clearly with their design is verticality, right? I mean, they're tall. They're big. They are very tall. And that's by design. It wasn't say, hey, let's just see how tall we can make it. The design was they want your eye to go up. And so when you think about church, when you think about the things of church, when you think about Christ, the design was to train the eye to go upward. Because things upward are much out of our understanding. They're much above our pay grade, as they say. You know, the things of God are much higher than the things of this earth. And so if we are worshiping a most high God, we have to understand it's all inclusive when it comes to bowing down. It includes everyone. All will bow down. And this is where we end up, because that's where the exalted one ends up. You know, we worship, which is our highest human calling, by the way. We worship because the King who comes in the name of the Lord is alone worthy of all glory, laud, and honor, as we sang in the first hymn. So then, is the fully human Jesus exalted because he made the Promethean leap to grasp equality with God? Paul says no. No, because there's no grasping by Jesus for something that he doesn't already have. I mean, he is the eternal God. He is the eternal Son of God who let go of some of the prerogatives of God. He took on the limitations of human form. He thirsted. He hungered. He got weary. He got disappointed. He got angry. All of these things are recorded in the Gospels. He took on this form. The fourth Gospel describes the incarnation of Jesus as pitching his tent with us. Okay? Pitching his tent. And Paul picks up on that language. He talks about, you know, at one point he talks about, you know, getting rid of the earthly tent, this tent, and describing our body as a tent. Now, understand the concept here. A tent is a temporary habitation, right? A tent's not something that we live in permanently. A tent is something because we're on our way through this life. Okay, so the tent is something that's temporary. It's something that travelers use. So Paul, as he picks up on that, he follows up, and in this passage this morning, he talks about the word he uses for emptied suggests letting go. Letting go of power that was rightly his. Jesus let go of power that was rightly his, and why did he do it? For our sake, right? He did it for our sake. It wasn't for his sake. He did it for our sake. So it's not only with pitching his tent with us, as in he's sharing our common lot, but Scripture also says in verse 8, he was obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Understand the cross. As we learned Wednesday night in our study in Smith Hall, the term excruciating comes from the Latin out of the cross. There's a reason for that. Excruciating is probably the most extreme superlative to talk about pain, right? I mean, when someone says they were in excruciating pain, that means they were off. When the nurse asks you, what is it on a scale of 1 to 10? It's about a 30. That's excruciating pain. Y'all have had that question. You know what I mean, don't you? Okay? It's excruciating. And it came from the phrase, out of the cross. Because the Romans were incredibly good at painful death. They wanted you to wish to die. You hurt so bad. And that is the power that they held over their subjects. That is, just the shadow of that was enough to keep people in line. So surely, this guy riding on a donkey and his ragtag group wouldn't cause any trouble, because the shadow of the cross would be enough to deter anyone from creating some kind of controversy, some kind of stir, right? Well, maybe not. Because you see, one's loyalty is not deterred. And Jesus' passion is to do the will of his Father in heaven. Pure and simple. That will is for death to be defeated by the Father's love working through a fully obedient human/God servant. So, think of the contrast. Sin entered the world through disobedience. Right? Sin entered the world through disobedience. Sin will be defeated by the obedience of the incarnate Son of God, who opens the way of forgiveness and life. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It came full circle. So this week, we have a journey. We are going to follow Jesus on the way to the cross. But Jesus' obedience is a costly one. It's a spiritual agony. And in the garden, he prays openly. God, if there's a plan B, let me know. Epiphany time. Tell me what it is. If there's any other way. But there wasn't. And so we read Philippians chapter 2, verses 7, 8 as part of a early Christian hymn that describes Christ's passion. Now, the word passion is interesting because in the dictionary, if you look it up, if you look up the passion, it'll say something along the lines of the death, the painful death, the historical account of the death of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Something along those lines. But there's also this word called passion with a little p. And it's a noun. It can be made an adjective by making it passionate. And if you read the definition of that, it'll say something like a thing which someone has great enthusiasm. A thing which someone yearns for. So if you put them together, Jesus' passion is obeying the Father, no matter what the cost. And that leads to the passion that we observe this week. But can we do more than just observe? Are we able to enter into his passion so that we can worship him more completely? That's a good question. Because in pouring himself out for us, he is not less than God. Rather, we see the King of the universe taking on the form of a suffering servant. And this servant king comes not only to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, but he comes here on Passion Sunday. And as we worship, remember this, true worship is focused clearly on the one who is highly exalted, according to verse 9, for he is raised from the dead. And every knee should bow at the foot of the cross. And understand that he gave his life willingly for us. We cannot forget that this same king humbled himself in life and death on a cross. You see, the crown that he chose as king, the crown he chose was a crown of thorns. We can't forget that. During this Passion Week, Holy Week as we sometimes refer to it, we have to understand he poured out his life for us, that we can live eternally with him. So it's a call to live in a way today that's shaped by the cross. The King of Kings traveled the way of the cross, and this week we journey to the cross, and in doing so we're called not only to worship him, but to be his disciples. To be his disciples. And if we're going to be his disciples, we too must be shaped by the cross. The obstacle is this. We want our will done. We want to claim Jesus. We want to be the one standing behind Jesus claiming, yeah, I'm with him. I'm with him, but when it comes right down to it, I want him to be on my side. I want him to do the things that I want him to do. Our will gets in the way. But we have to die to our own wills. And so we can do his will. Because his will is the way of the cross. And there's no other way for true believers. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, it's so easy to claim you when things are going our way. It's so easy to claim you as kind of a trump card in an argument or or a trump card in a discussion about who's right, who's wrong. Father, forgive us when we reduce who you are to something so small and so petty as that. Father, you sent your Son as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We pray now that as we claim to be disciples, as we claim to be Christians, Christ ones, that we would surrender our will to your will. And in that way, be more like Christ. Father, forgive us when we seek to do our will above yours. Bring us back to you. Restore us. Make us whole. Make us clean. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This is Palm Sunday. It's a glorious day. It is a day of celebration. It's also a day of decision. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know who we've been talking about. We don't know who Paul, you don't know who Paul has been describing here as in a personal way. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. In a minute, we're going to sing, and I'm going to be here at the front. I'd be glad to talk with you about how you can receive Jesus Christ. If you'd rather not come down front, that's fine. Call me this week. Be glad to meet you somewhere. You can come here, and we can talk about your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you say, wow, you know, you kind of stepped all over my toes, preacher. I am a believer, but that whole thing about my will getting in the way of God's will sometimes, so that's where I am, and I just need to get back to what God has for me. I'd be glad to pray with you. You're welcome to come here, pray at the front. I think we'll have some prayer warriors that may be coming. So certainly you can come and pray, but if you'd like to speak with me, I'll be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, it's a good group. Look around you. Good looking group and a good group. And we have many ways that we receive members, and we'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, we invite you to be serious as you sing and as you talk with God about what He would have you to do today. Would you stand with me, please? Glad you're here with us today. I want to invite you to come back this week, Thursday night and Friday night, as we journey to the cross together. And in preparation for the celebration next Sunday morning, encourage you to get out in your neighborhood, invite people. They are amazingly receptive. As we found out in the early service, sometimes they surprise us when they say yes to our invitation. So I would hope that opportunity presents itself for you this week. as you invite someone to come be a part of worship with us next Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning. Let's pray together now. Dear Father, as we go, be with us. Give us your peace, your courage, and your strength as we seek to live more like you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.